tap to 1 John. Open up to the book of 1 John, chapter 4. This is where we're going to kind of dig in this morning. But also, thanks so much to Pastor Kevin and Ms. Mandy for their staged, but supposed to look like impromptu musical talents there of coming up with those kind of versions of songs. But yeah, we're talking this morning about how to navigate truth. And in today's day and age, we hear a lot about truth, don't we? A lot of stuff that's said, a lot of stuff that maybe shouldn't be said, maybe some things that don't need to be said. But we hear a lot about this thing called truth. And we also see a lot of things that aren't necessarily true, right? We hear a lot of things that aren't true. Raise your hand if you've heard the word fake news in the last... Yeah, raise your hand if you've seen some fake news. Raise your hand if you accidentally shared some fake news and realized you were... Yeah, yeah, that's all of us, especially whenever it comes to this thing called social media, right? Like, we see it all around us, and sometimes we just base it on what we want to be true, right? And then you get into the whole phraseology of you got to know your truth. You heard that phrase? You got to know your truth. That's a big thing nowadays. That's being said. And basically, what it is, it's like it's not necessarily all bad. It's like an empowerment of you knowing maybe who you are, what your strengths and weaknesses are, knowing your past and what that means for your present. It's not necessarily all bad, but sometimes it kind of gets into the realm of like knowing your truth is your version of what just happened, of what just transpired. And it's not necessarily true, it's just an opinion, right? And there's lots of opinions. Like, I've got lots of opinions that aren't necessarily your truth. They're my truth, but they're not necessarily your truth. Like, my truth is I'm a Chicago Cubs fan. And it is my truth that 2016 was not a fluke whenever they won the World Series. And that had they kept that lineup together, they could have come back in at least 2017 and 2018 and at least won the division title instead of, you know, coming in like in the middle of the pack or, you know, almost dead last the next 2 years later. You know, like, that's just my truth, right? Some of you are still, you know, holding on to the Dallas Cowboys winning a national championship. That's your truth, okay? All right? I don't think it's going to happen in any of our lifetimes anytime soon. All right? But again, that's just maybe my truth, right? Like, so we've got truth, but it really comes down to just opinion. So not all truth is necessarily truth, right? But the thing is, truth is not a subjective thing that we get to claim ourselves. Truth is just that. It's truth. If it's actually true, then it's true. Like, this podium is made of wood. It's not my truth that it's made of metal. I would just be wrong, right? It's made of wood. It doesn't matter how I feel about it. And so whenever it comes down to truth, the first thing that I want us to look at, and it's this kind of this thing there, it's not necessarily in your handout, but perception and passion, nor even a majority, get to determine the legitimacy of truth. We see that in our society. We see that we even see that within the church sometimes, right? Just because a lot of people follow it, and even a lot of people are super excited about it, doesn't necessarily mean it's true. You see a lot of people passionate about a lot of things today, don't you? You even see the memes of the screaming faces of people, you know, passionate about this area or that thing or this thing in politics or this thing in the social world, whatever it is. Well, passion still doesn't determine whether or not it's actually true. What determines whether or not something is actually true is its accuracy, right? And by accuracy, I don't mean like how accurate you are, you know, like shooting a gun or something like that and getting real close to the bullseye. I'm talking about dead center. It hits the mark every time. Either it's accurate or it's not. Either it's true or it's not. And with all that, you know, it's like if you look at a magic act, you ever seen a really good illusionist and ever wonder, like, how did they do that, you know? And you like see it, and you see it even in slow motion maybe or something like that, and like America's Got Talent, you all got those guys who are like doing like these magic tricks right in front of the judges and everything like that. It doesn't matter what those judges feel. It doesn't matter, you know, how great it was. It doesn't matter by the perception or anything like that or what it seemed. It's all fake. You know that, right? Like, it's not magic. It's not actually magic. It seems like it, right? It was even meant to fool. It was even meant to seem a certain way. And the people who even watched it got really, oh my goodness, how did they do that? Doesn't make it true though, does it? And we know that. But then there's still a part of us like, how did they do that? Still doesn't make it true. Because truth is truth based on its accuracy and what that really means. But this truth is important, especially for this next generation, you know, for us to be able to communicate this. A truth is important because it leads to our own personal growth within Christ. We don't have growth in Christ without truth. It also leads just to assurance of who we are in Jesus. And we'll talk a little bit about that, but the entire book of 1 John is about fellowship, recognizing that you truly are a child of God, and who maybe not, you know, might be a child of God, but then also knowing that you yourself, you are really a part of the kingdom if this is true about you. You know that you're truly a kingdom child if this is actually going on within your life. If you hold to this belief, then you can recognize that within yourself. Assurance. But without that truth, we don't have that assurance. We just have a lot of questions and a lot of things that we're just not sure about. But also, we see in God's word, it says the truth will set you what? Free. Whenever you're living in the truth, there's nothing more freeing, even if that truth is not good or bad. If you're trying to cover up a lie, and raise your hand if you've ever told a lie, right? Yeah, okay. Raise your hand if you told a lie this morning. I'm just kidding. All right, so some of y'all didn't really need to raise it. Some of you raised the person's hand beside you, okay? But yeah, whenever you're not covering that up, like you don't have that pressure, do you? If you're trying to cover up a lie, you don't feel free, do you? It's not freeing. You're playing the game, you're doing all this stuff, you're trying to cover up, then you're telling a lie to cover up that lie, and to, you know, and you're building a whole world, you know, and it's, you know, all a lie. It's this crazy thing. And the thing is, you laugh. It's like, oh, a preacher sharing that? How do you understand that? Because we all understand that. All of us in this room knows what that's like. But truth lets us go from all that stuff. And so whenever we hold to that truth, then it also then leads to knowledge not only of freedom, but then freedom to follow God. And to know His will, and to be able to just embrace that. And without that, then we lose all of that. And so whenever it comes to seeking, God, what do you want me to do next? As I take this next step within, you know, my new college career, or in my actual career, am I making the right decisions? Am I pointing myself in the right direction? Or I don't even know the direction I'm supposed to go. I think so. I'm not sure, God. But if our foundation is on man-made things and belief systems, things that aren't necessarily true, if it's built on fake news or something apart from the very word of God, we're not going to be able to fully navigate what it is that God ultimately has for us. And so we're going to talk about that and just kind of how we can look at that. So basically, how do we navigate through all the fake news, all the man-made junk, to find God's truth within life? Well, let's go and look at some passages within 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. But real quick, let's have a quick word of prayer, and then we'll jump in. And I'm going to kind of treat this like one little section of Scripture at a time as we kind of work through that together. Let's go and pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, God, for this morning. Thank you, God, for the life and love that we get to experience in you. But also thank you, God, that you are there to guide us through life. And you've given us certain guidelines and things to help us. And so that we pray this morning you would show us, remind us, help us, encourage us, maybe even challenge us and convict us and change us from maybe the things that we're holding on to. But God, ultimately we pray you would guide us into your truth through the power of your word this morning. It's all in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Let's go and look at verse 1 and 1 John chapter 4. Verse 1 says this, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, for many false prophets have gone out into the world." So we're going to stop right there. We got more to read. But there's some things that we have to kind of do. You see what's kind of highlighted there on the screen is this word test. The fact that, you know, there are a lot of things being said out there. There's a lot of things even being taught, even from church pulpits, that aren't necessarily true, right? And again, just because there's a following and because of a large crowd of people sitting down listening to the person that's actually talking or teaching, or even lots of people reading that one book or listening to that person that's on the TV, whatever it is, it doesn't necessarily mean it's true. Nor should we just automatically just assume it's true or just, you know, take it in and receive it completely as truth. And what this is saying in verse 1 is this first point, one of the things that we have to do and make sure that we're very careful is to be discerning. But I kind of added in there too, because of our society today, is to not just be discerning, but be very careful that we don't go into the realm of hypercriticism. And that's really, really easy for us to do. We do need to be discerning. We need to be listening carefully to what's actually being said. And make sure that we're listening so carefully that we're just, you know, we're filtering it through all of this stuff. And now listen, you know, there is something to be said of being able to trust somebody's word, right? You got a parent, you got a preacher, you got a teacher, you got a coach, you got a friend, you got a loved one, you got a spouse. You know, you don't have to always be like checking, oh, I don't know, is that actually true? I don't know, is that actually true? That's not a very healthy relationship, is it? If you're always second-guessing what somebody else is saying. But unfortunately, sometimes we do go from that discerning spirit to where we actually get to the point where we're breaking down everything and looking almost for something to do, to this hypercritical state that sometimes we can get into. So there is a balance between this, between listening carefully but not listening cynically. In other words, you know, having that lack of trust, not giving maybe the benefit of the doubt. Have you ever gotten into an argument with somebody over something that they said to you? And they're like, I didn't mean it like that. They're like, yeah, but I heard what you said. And you know what? Actually, the problem is, it's not just that we hear something or that they should have said something different. A lot of times, it's because we're just listening with the wrong kind of ears. We were actually, you know, listening just to find fault. Sometimes that's the case. Now, sometimes maybe somebody should have said something different, right? But sometimes if we just give somebody the benefit of the doubt and actually hear them for what they're truly saying, we don't end up in this hypercritical kind of thing. We don't end up with this kind of tension. Because we understand, okay, I understand their heart and where they're kind of coming from, and we give them the benefit of the doubt to that. We extend that kind of grace. Or you extend that kind of grace to this person over here because we like them, but we don't extend it to this person over here because we don't like them. We didn't like them whenever they walked in the room. Right? So we're just looking, like if they said something, we're just looking to find something. Where this person over here, oh, well, you know, we love them, we have a relationship with them. They could say anything, and we're like going to like filter it through grace and filter it, you know, through, you know, benefit of the doubt. Where this other person, not so much. So we do have to be careful with that. Making sure that we're listening with discerning ears and we're comparing it to what God's word says, to what's actually true, to what's actually really truly being said or what's really truly being meant compared to what we really want them to hear, or, you know, listening really just to find fault. Because whenever we do that, we miss out on our opportunity to be fed by truth. Because all we're doing is just picking things apart. Listen, if you open up any hymnal, if you look at any praise song, if you look at like anything that anybody's ever preached or anybody's ever taught, if you look at any Sunday school book, anything like that, you can look there, and if you look long enough, you can find something to pick apart in there. Oh, well, this is wrong. Oh, well, that's wrong. Well, what did he mean by this? What did she mean whenever she said that? You could do all that all day long and then totally miss the good stuff that God had for you in the midst of all that. Or making, you know, mountains out of molehills, out of things that just don't matter, and missing out on the true depth and the true truth. So we have to be very, very careful with that. But at the same time, making sure that we are listening to truth and going through that part. Some of us are just too many times self-appointed police of truths, where the rest of us are just sponges for anything that gets said. But there's a middle ground there. So we just need to make sure that we are being very, very careful about that. And also verses 2 and 3, kind of moving on there. It says, by this you will know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which we have heard is coming and now is in the world already. One thing, and this is a very, very simple point. This is not like blowing your minds deep. But number two, it's this. What we need to realize is that truth will draw us closer to who Jesus really is, whereas deception will confuse and pull us away. And you say, that is so simple. That is so just like baseline finance. Like, well, yeah, obviously, you know, yeah, we're going to follow God more closely. We're going to understand him more. And yet, how many times do we lend ears to somebody just because they have a platform? Or just because, you know, they're on TV? Well, you know, I saw it on the internet, therefore it's got to be true, right? And we start listening to it, and we start soaking it in and everything like that. And then pretty soon, then our view of Jesus starts getting maybe skewed, or it's less biblical, or we see a friend who's starting to listen to this person, that other friend that's in their life, and it's like that friend that you really care about is now listening to somebody else, and now that friend is no longer quite as close to Jesus as they used to be. And it's because that influence is steering them away from Jesus. That didn't happen overnight to that friend. That doesn't happen overnight to us. That happens a little bit over time, where we just slowly start getting pulled in that kind of direction. So we can hear this, we can see this truth, we can see this as like, oh yeah, duh, yeah, like, you know, if it's truth, closer to Jesus, not truth, farther away from Jesus, duh, right? And yet, how often do we find ourselves being pulled farther and farther away, maybe with our attitude, our actions, the things that's kind of going on, maybe even in our classrooms? And there's a sub-point there that has popped up on the screen, and this is what we need to realize, and essentially this, and this is the warning: if what we're learning, or what we're hearing, or what we're allowing to influence us within our lives is drawing us further away from biblical truth, which can happen all the time, then you're not being enlightened, you're just being misled. Well, I listened to this one preacher, and it was like, he was saying, we've been getting part of Christianity all wrong for all these years, and all these other theologians that have been preaching this one truth for years have gotten it wrong, and they just like unloaded all this new truth. There is no new truth. There is nothing new. Chances are, whatever they're telling you, they're skewing, and it's actually old lies put in a new way to pull you away from who Jesus really, really is. Well, I was sitting in my college class, and this one professor had all of these things to say against why the Bible cannot be accepted as truth, and why Jesus was not the way that the Bible is saying, and all this stuff. And man, he's so smart. He's got a PhD in this and that, and you know, he's so convincing and so compelling and so charismatic, even whenever he teaches, you know. And we start listening, and instead of discerning, instead of filtering through all that, what he says, and to realize, regardless how smart this person is, he might be wrong. Instead, it starts influencing us in this negative way. And we think, oh, now I'm starting to understand the real truth of the Bible. My home church and my parents and everybody else, those poor little, you know, ignorant people, they don't know all this deep stuff that's out there, all these other things, all these other sources, all these other books, all these other teachers, and everything like that. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, and listen, young people, this is not new stuff. That junk has been out there for thousands of years. And it's not enlightenment. It might be packaged differently, it might be put out differently, and because of social media, it seems like it's just absolutely everywhere, whenever it's all still the same source. It's just deception. And it's trying to mislead us away from God's truth. And so it's something we have to be very, very careful about. And if it's true, it will lead us closer to Jesus. If what you're listening to, if what you're hearing is leading you closer to the biblical view of who Jesus really is, and closer to him in a relationship with him, chances are it's true. But if what you're listening to, and what you're allowing to influence you, to come into your ears, is pulling you away, maybe not just in what necessarily you hear, but maybe even in priorities within life. If it's causing you to put a different priority at the center of your life, if it's causing you to put work at the center, if it's causing you to put yourself at the center, and your own needs, Oh, you've been caring for everybody your whole life. Now it's time for you to think of you, baby. You know, you ever heard that kind of thinking? You know, and you just put everything into you. Yeah, we have to have self-care. Yeah, we need to worry about, you know, our own conditions, our own mental health, all that kind of stuff. All that stuff isn't necessarily bad. But if that's the center and the focus of who we are, that's putting Jesus out of the center. That's putting all that stuff out of focus, and we have to be very, very careful. And that's going to lead us farther away in our relationship with Jesus, no matter what it is. And so we have to be extremely careful. So it might not just be a different version of Jesus. Maybe it's just a different priority. So we have to be extremely careful. But also, in part of verse 3, we're going to kind of go back there and look at it again. Verse 3 says this, again, every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming, and now is in the world already. I already kind of alluded to this already, but something that we need to realize is that, number 3, opposition is not only here now, but it has always been. When did Satan first show up within the Bible? When did deception first start coming in? Did he wait for, you know, Jesus to come on the scene, and then he starts like, oh no, you know, Jesus here, now I got to step up my game, now I got to start deceiving people? No, he did it before then. So what was he doing? It just during the prophet times, just during Old Testament times? No, he did it even before then. So did he do it whenever God was establishing the nation of Israel to the fathers of, you know, the Hebrew faith? No, he did it even before then. He did it at the very beginning of time, in the garden. He was already there all along. And he was trying to deceive. He was trying to question. He was trying to get people to doubt, trying to get people pulled in and just question all this kind of stuff. So there's one thing that we've got to realize, yes, it's a pretty messed up world out there today, isn't it? I guess it's pretty jacked up. There's a lot of crazy stuff going on. There's also a lot of falsehoods. There's a lot of things being said. And again, with social media and with the way that we can access stuff because of the internet and everything, it seems like it is like, oh my goodness, this is a world that is just so crazy. It is so far gone. There's almost no hope. And we kind of get into this doom and gloom kind of state. You really think it's actually any worse today than it was in the first century? Let's just think about what happened in the first century. What was going on there? This was a society that, you know, even in Jesus' time, there were already pagan station after pagan worship station, temple after temple after temple, and this was in the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel that was founded on a nation following after God, that set up the temple, that also had synagogue after synagogue after synagogue. And then now, here it is, thousands of years later. And what's going on whenever Jesus was on the scene? I mean, he preached a message to his followers and disciples outside of what he called the gates of hell as an illustrative point to his disciples. You had Paul standing in the middle of pagan worship centers and all the stuff that was going on, places where like so many things were being worshipped, not just pagan gods, but then also all this junk that was being taught, all this philosophy that was being said that had nothing to do with the true God. This in the nation that was founded for God. That was going on in the first century. I mean, you had places of pagan worship where sex was the center of worship. And all this terrible stuff that was going on in the nation of Israel. And so, did the word of God stop after the first century? Did it get squelched? Did it not live on? Did God not take care of his church through that first century garbage? And it's still here today by his praise, by his glory? It's still here today, isn't it? If God could take care of the first century church when all that stuff was going on then, he can take care of it today. If God can take care of his church, his body, and take care of, listen, his truth through all the junk that was being preached in the first century, all this false stuff that was going on against who Jesus really was. The fact that he, you know, lots of people thinking, oh, he wasn't the Messiah. He was just a good teacher. He was just somebody maybe to be respected, but he was not really the Son of God. Or, you know, maybe he was like the spiritual Son of God, but his physical body wasn't actually real. Or maybe, you know, like all these different belief systems, this crazy stuff, this stuff that like you're like, how could somebody end up there? All that stuff was going on in the first century. So how can we worry about what's going on around us today? And just like, truth, oh no, doom and gloom, it's not going to get in, it's going to get in, you know, we just got to close up shop now and just give up. Or, you know, let's not give up, but then we start reacting out of fear. We start living our faith out of fear or out of worry, and or maybe being defensive all the time towards the world. Oh, the world is so bad, the world is so bad. Well, yeah, the world is pretty messed up, right? Again. But it's not any worse than it has been. And God's word has still lived through all of that. Because what it comes down to is not just the faithfulness of his people, the fact that God himself will make sure his word endures, that his truth endures. And yes, he's looking for us to be a part of those vessels to make sure that truth stays. But he's taken care of it for over 2,000 years. He can do it for another 2,000 more, even through all the junk that's going on around us. And it's hard not to idealize the past because of the present problems. It's hard not to demonize the present because of how good we think the past really was. But if we're honest, ladies and gentlemen, our childhood was probably great, and our nation might have looked a little bit different, but it wasn't nearly as good as we think it really was. I mean, if we're just honest, there was lots of junk going on, even in our day, whenever we were kids. It just looked different, because again, we didn't have social media, or people weren't quite as open about it. But there was still just as much sin, just as much disbelief, just as much doubt, just as much deception being taught. And whenever we do not fail to recognize that, then we look at our current generation and just, oh, bless your hearts. There's no hope for y'all. I don't know what y'all are going to do. It's the same thing that our parents looked at us and said the same thing. Bless your hearts. I don't know what y'all are going to do. That doesn't give a whole lot of hope, does it? That doesn't give a whole lot of positivity to what God can do through this current generation, does it? So we just need to be careful with how we're filtering all that stuff. So in the subpoint there is this, us also realizing this as well, it's always been a spiritual battle. Ephesians 6:12 says, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, right? But against all the spiritual forces that are out there that are working against them. Listen, there are people who are teaching some messed up stuff out there. There are people who are against that. But that is not our enemy. That is a person that God wants to save. That is a person that God cares about. So we need to be careful not to demonize people. Understand that what they're saying might be false, and yes, we need to make sure we have truth on board and that we're even maybe even speaking up whenever we need to speak up, not whenever we want to speak up or whenever we want to go on a social media rant against that person, you know what I mean? But we need to make sure that we are being careful to realize that they are not the enemy. Because people, that's who God loves and who he wants to save. And we might be breaking down a bridge there that we can use to reach out to somebody who's on the other side of that belief system, who is not following truth, because we end up demonizing not just what they believe, but who they are. So we have to be extremely careful with that. Extremely careful. They're not the enemy. There is an enemy out there. His name is Satan. He wants to deceive. And yes, he can use people and speak through people. But the people are not the enemy. He is. All right. Everything is essentially a spiritual issue. Everything within life. It just might have political or social implications. Everything is a spiritual issue. So we need to stop letting politics and social stuff create our spiritual hills that we die on. All right. Instead, we need to let our spiritual knowledge and truth determine the political and social hills that we die on. Let me make sure that we don't get those things messed up. Verse 4, let's go and look at that really quick. It says, little children, you are from God and have overcome them. In other words, the spirits that are out there in the world, the things that are working against God, the spirit of the Antichrist. It's for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Number 4, one of the things that we need to realize is that facing opposition doesn't mean that we're wrong, nor defeated. That just sounds like a good like Christian rah-rah-rah kind of thing, and yet a lot of times if we're trying to speak truth, if we're trying to share that truth, let the person that we're sharing that truth to buck up a little bit. Then how do you feel? Right? Like if somebody, you know, you're trying to share with them something or whatever, and they come back at you just like a little bit, they push back just a little bit, and then we're like, oh, gosh, that got heated real fast. I wasn't ready for that. It might have got heated real fast. And maybe you could have said it maybe in a better way, but maybe you said it in exactly the way you needed to say it. They just weren't ready to hear it. They weren't ready to hear that truth. That doesn't mean you're wrong. Just because that college professor, just because those friends, just because that coworker, just because those people around us, or just because maybe those other types of churches or whatever don't agree with us, just because society doesn't necessarily agree with what we're saying or what we're preaching or what we're holding on to, it doesn't mean that we're wrong. And just because they even look at us and call us stupid or try to demean us or say we're not open-minded or you're not enlightened or whatever the phraseology might be, it does not mean that we are wrong. It just means that we're being opposed. And what did Jesus say? You will face opposition. You will face persecution in this life because of me. It's just going to be a fact. But it also doesn't mean that we're defeated just because we're being opposed either. Because ultimately, who's going to win? He says, greater is the one who is in us than the one who is in the world. We are not defeated. So pushback doesn't mean that we're wrong. Or even offending somebody doesn't mean that we're wrong. But then, number 5 here, let's go and look at verses 5 and 6 really quickly. It says, they are from the world, therefore they speak from the world. So that's where they're coming from. That's their filter. That's where they're not coming from a place of God. You're like, how could somebody believe that? It's because, well, because they don't believe the way that God wants them to believe. We got to at least see where they're coming from. They don't see God's word as a place of authority, as God-breathed scripture. They don't see that. So whenever they read the Bible, it is foolishness to them. Because they don't see it as authority, because maybe they don't believe in God to begin with. So we just have to understand where that's kind of coming from, even if they're wrong, just so we can understand their thinking. They speak from the world, and the world listens to them. How can somebody believe that? How can somebody buy into that stuff? How can somebody post that fake news or say that what I'm saying is fake news? How can somebody do that? It's because they don't want to listen to you. They don't want to listen to the truth. They don't want to listen to what God has to say because they're coming about it from the world. Verse 6, it says, we are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Deception. So there's some things that we just need to ask ourselves as we're filtering through this thing of truth just really quickly. Number 1, who am I listening to? This is something that we just need to ask. Because as it said here, it's like, you know, the world listens to them. The world listens to deceivers and don't see it as deception. Because their filter isn't the word of God. It isn't the truth of God to begin with. That's why they can believe it and then take it and think it's truth and then teach it themselves. You know, but we need to be careful. Again, if we're filtering through, if we're discerning the way that we should, but not being overly critical, and we're doing all those things, then we still need to ask, just make sure, who are we actually really listening to? And then also, the second thing is, does it match up to what God says? Because regardless, again, regardless of how it feels, regardless of how good it makes us feel, how good it makes me look, because I share this one truth, is it actually true? Well, what does God's word have to say about it? Is it being addressed there? Does it match up? If it doesn't match up with what God says, if it doesn't match up with his word, with his truth, it's not from God, regardless of how we feel about it. If the world doesn't want any of it too, it might actually be true. You know that, right? If the world doesn't want any of what we're saying, it might actually be true. That's another good litmus test there. Then also the last thing here is, what does it say about who I am? Whenever it comes to this truth, whenever it comes to this belief, whenever it comes to this one thing that I'm trying to navigate through, whenever it comes to this next step in my life that I feel like I need to take, what does it say about who I truly am? In other words, are you a child of God? Or are you not? If I'm taking this next step based on faith, based on what I feel like it is that God wants me to do, and that's not only what I'm saying, it really is what I truly believe and I'm trying to trust through, what does that say about you? It probably means you trust God, you truly believe in Him, and He is your Lord, and He is your Savior. Whenever it comes to this one belief system and everything, well, there's lots of opposition against this belief that Jesus is the Son of God, or maybe this or this lifestyle or that lifestyle, whatever it is. Lots of things are being said against that. It doesn't matter. If it's in God's Word, you realize that, you understand that, and you're living to that. That says something not only about them out there that's opposing it, it says something about you. Then you're probably a child of God because you're holding to what it is that He has. And that's why John says there, so we know that we are from God because of this, that assurance. And it only comes from the truth. So all this not only navigates the truth of what we hear, see, or read, but also who we truly are, and also what it is that God has for us. So in closing this, we just need to look just a couple points here. Now, first of all, what we see from His Word, what we see what's kind of going on here, we can't know God's will. In other words, what He has for us, the way that He wants us to live, the decisions that He wants you and I to make, our lifestyle choices, the way that He wants us to worship. We cannot know that part of God's will apart from His truth. You can't get there without His truth. But ultimately, this second thing is that we can't know God's truth apart from God's Word. That's what it keeps coming back to. That's what it keeps coming back as the standard of where we ought to be living, where we ought to be sticking, how we need to be coming through. It doesn't matter what we want to be true. It doesn't matter how we feel about it. It doesn't matter how passionate we are about it. It doesn't matter how many social media posts we see about it. Is it God's truth? Well, it doesn't match up with God's Word. If it doesn't, that's not truth. And listen, again, all this lays a foundation for not just what we believe, but as we already talked about, with how we worship, how we come into God's house, how we filter, how we experience that relationship with Him through our worship time together as believers, jointly, corporately. But then also how we give, how we serve each other, how we serve out there in the world, but then also with the choices that we are making. Whether or not we're actually willing to step out in faith or maybe do something that, you know, we think we are not good enough to do, but yet we know that God is calling us to do it. And if we don't know that truth, if we don't have that as our foundation, those decisions will never be made for God's glory. We'll always be holding back. We'll never take that step. We'll never follow through with what it is that God wants us to do. We'll never serve the way that we should truly serve without the knowledge and the assurance that we are truly God's child, that He is the one who's victorious, that He is truth. He has established this truth. It's not based on us. It's based on Him. And so I just want to challenge you with that this morning, that where is your truth coming from? Where is that foundation coming from? And how does that then therefore affect how you then live out your faith? Because it says everything about how you and I truly believe based on what we're truly holding on to. Is it public opinion? Is it political stuff? Is it all this kind of stuff? Or is it God's Word at the center? And then from all that, it's shaping everything else around us. Our social stuff, how we vote, who we connect with, how we worship, and decisions that we make within our life. So I'm going to have just a brief word of prayer over this message time. But then after that, I'm going to call up our graduates for a time of prayer for them, and I'll guide us in that. But first, let's have a brief word of prayer over this. Heavenly Father, thank You, God, for this time. Thank You, Lord, for Your Word. Just pray that You would just help us to see how we're actually filtering through this thing called truth. And it's so complicated nowadays. It's so hard to be able to truly navigate things with fake news and is this really true? Just help us to be discerning without being overly critical. But God, help us also still be careful with what we truly seek in and also to who we're really listening to. And also to realize that the opposition is there. It's always been there. So we don't need to have doom and gloom, but yet also at the same time, we can just hold true to who you are because you have made us victorious in the midst of all this junk that's going throughout the world. But also, we just need to make sure that as we're doing this, we need to be careful, always asking those questions of who we're listening to, who we're allowing to influence ourselves, and ultimately, does it match up with what your word says? Help us, God, to be careful as followers to do that, as a body of believers to do that, as individuals to do that, but then also individuals who influence other people. Help us, God, to realize that's all on us. That's our decisions. So, God, help us just to be careful navigating your word, your truth. Pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.